All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Got it that time. It's Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll be joined in about a half hour by Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. We'll get his take on the game tonight, the week leading into it, how this team is going to make up for the loss of the left side of their offensive line, which is both out now, both been ruled out. When are we going to get inactives for tonight?
Like 90 minutes before.
90 minutes before, so that would be 6:30, so we're not going to get them.
No.
Yeah, that sucks.
We'll be gone.
We won't be here.
It'll be on the Amazon Prime pregame show featuring Arcand and Hart.
That's right. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, before all of these games, before every single Thursday night game on Amazon Prime, they do this little vignette in the intro, and in the vignette, they have a little clip from local sports talk radio talking about the team, the two teams. I don't know what they have for the Jets, probably our friends over at WFAN. But for us, we were down in the Gillette studio, this beautiful new studio that they have. We had the NFL Films guy, who's a director, who's a cameraman, there's a guy with a mic.
Felt like a big deal.
Seemed like it was pretty official. And they filmed us for about, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
We did this 90-second little thing where it was just sort of us going back and forth about the Jets and the game coming up, and then they filmed the actual show, which was, you know, the first 5 minutes of the show or whatever, and then they took off. They said, yeah, we got it. We got enough here. And they left. Now, the fact that it was so little amount of filming that they used, is that a good or a bad thing?
I think we're fine.
I think that's probably good.
They know they're not going to use a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, they know they only need seconds of footage.
Mm-hmm.
So why waste everybody's time?
The question is, they did two different angles. They did one angle over your shoulder looking at me.
Mm.
They did one angle over my shoulder looking at you. The one they choose, if they choose any of this, if we even make the freaking thing,
is telling.
Is going to really, I think, set the hierarchy of the show maybe for the rest of its existence, however long that may be.
We might have to change the host one and host two dynamics based on that.
I think it might
be clear who host one is.
I think so. I think that's going to determine it, right? Like that's
America will see.
And if they jump back and forth, then it's still going to be what it is. You know, it'll still be ambiguous, I guess. But if they just do the one shot over my shoulder looking at you.
Or if they do a shot of one of us, and then when the other one talks, it's like B-roll, and it cuts to footage of the game.
And you never see
that person.
You don't see that person talking, yeah.
That might be telling as well.
There's going to be a slow motion shot of you guys, like a sweeping slow motion thing. And then
that'd be cool.
Yeah, and then go into the normal kind of speed.
Yeah, but they'd have to film it that way. It was a set camera. The guy wasn't moving around.
It was a cool camera, though. It looked fancy.
It was a nice camera.
I wish I had gotten a haircut.
It wasn't like that camera on the field, you know, on the NFL field, the one that like swoops all around.
Somebody overhead with the ball.
That thing's awesome, by the way. The shots that thing picks up are amazing. But I always worry that it's going to get hit by the ball or by something.
It's been hit.
It's been hit, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of annoying.
Well,
but whatever.
We didn't have
one of those in the studio was the point.
First of all, I appreciate that you're the one derailing a segment, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the shots you're getting out of Atlanta, I believe, maybe Houston, these above, it might be a drone. Some of these highlight, I think they had it for Anthony Richardson's
throw. For his long touchdown, yeah.
Those are ridiculous.
Awesome. Those are awesome. I love those.
They seem fake in a way because it's almost like, am I watching Madden? Is this a Madden replay angle
like that
I picked? But those are real. At some point, when the Patriots have a play worthy of such a replay, I look forward to it.
Will they have one of those all season? That's a good question. How many of those will they have?
Excuse me, when Drake May plays, you'll have one of those. You would have had one of those in the preseason if there hadn't been a stupid penalty.
Yeah.
Or
a drop or all the other various things that got in the way there.
Absolutely. When Drake May plays, you will get... Is that drone? Is it drone footage that
is doing
that?
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a drone or if it's that camera I was just talking about. I have no idea.
I don't think it's that camera. I think it's more drone-like. So
it does seem like it's from further up.
Yeah. So when Drake May plays, that is when we will finally get drone footage of a Patriots game. Until then, we'll stick to traditional cameras because traditional cameras cover the running game quite well.
Yes, yes, it does. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Is there a new Patriot way, Robert Kraft and Mike Reese? And a lot of people have been discussing this lately. Mike Reese, latest on ESPN.com, has, I think, some new quotes from Kraft here, although I'm not 100% sure on that. But it seems like there's been more sort of talk going on here, and the idea of a new Patriot way under Gerard Mayo is starting to emerge. Here's what Mike Reese wrote. He said, the change in culture was intentional. Kraft believes players entering the NFL respond better to a different style of coaching than they did a decade ago. How nice of Kraft to have realized that. At the same time, he knew that moving away from the old school Belichick for a first-time head coach was a gamble, especially for a team in the middle of a rebuild. The early returns have been promising. Patriots are 1-1. The season-opening victory against the Bengals was the biggest week one upset across the NFL since 2018. It's a potential sign that Mayo's way is working. Mayo, standing as a former player, has helped him in the locker room, according to Kyle Duggar, who observed a team culture that includes some of Belichick's core principles, complemented with a Mayo twist. Duggar says, it's a lot similar values as far as the foundation of hard work all around, doing our job the right way, not getting into the media and listening to the outside noise, Duggar said. I think the biggest difference is that the communication has been really open and upfront from him to us, coach to player, and him having the voices to be taken a little more seriously in the locker room. It's really important for me to feel like I have a voice, and he wants to know how things can be run better or how he can help us. Man, they're not done piling dirt on Bill Belichick, are they? I mean, if you don't, I understand this is all meant to be complimentary to Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
But it does come off as really this old out of touch guy does not know how to talk to these players.
Well, you almost can't have one without the other because of the dramatic shift, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like if Drake May hits and we're raving about Drake May running around, and is that going to be compared to Tom Brady in some way? Yeah, not as directly, because there was Cam Newton and then there was Mac Jones, there was Bailey Zappi and all that. But if Drake May had come in for Tom Brady and was running all over the field and making crazy, and everybody's like, this is so awesome, we finally have one of those quarterbacks that makes these crazy plays, people would be like, finally? You didn't like the guy who stood in the pocket and kicked ass for 25 years?
Nah, boring.
It's sort of a natural comparison when there is such a dramatic shift. And you also have to remember, this is sales job. This is all marketing. Because these quotes, I think these quotes are new to Mike, but you know why you're not sure? Because they were given to, was it Karen Garigian who had the Mass Live story with Robert right before the opener? There's been a couple of these, and it's the same talking points.
So here's the Kraft quotes. Here's the Kraft quotes. Kraft is measured when asked how he will assess the 2024 season. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll probably be in for some rough times.
Yep.
But this is how you build. Our first year with Bill, we went 5-11, Kraft said. Gerard exudes a certain confidence and has created an atmosphere of positivity. I don't know what a record's going to be, but there is a certain connectivity and mutual respect yet pushing back on one another. He also says, I really believe he's created an atmosphere where the dialogue and communication with the players, they're going to go out and play for him. I want to see that effort and the players putting out. The external expectations for us are not very high. I want that to tick them off. And look, we want to win games, but I think this year will be great growth and lay the foundation for the future. I don't know if those are new quotes. It sounds like stuff he's already said. It sounds like things he said before that Garigian thing. I'm not sure if these are new since the 1-1 start or what. But either way, even with a 1-1 start, expectations from ownership level are being broadcast out is very low still.
Rough times.
Yeah.
That's what stood out to me. We're in for some rough times. Now, he did make the comparison, which is, for better or worse, 5-11 for Bill his first year. Second year, 11-5, and you won the Super Bowl. So no pressure, Gerard. You get the one mulligan for this year, and then next year you better be competing at a really high level, because that's what Bill did, and we're comparing everything. The apples to the orange and the way everything has been handled in New England. Again, it's all marketing. I don't really care how you package it. And I think it's like Kyle Duggar's talking about communication. That's great. I don't know. Has communication been great between Judon and Mayo, between Rager and Mayo, between Pop Douglas and Mayo, between Chukwuma Okorafor and Mayo? I mean, are those great communication? Is that positivity? And
I'd say probably not. Sounds like guys are frustrated, but we don't know how they're communicating behind the scenes. Like, they may be frustrated. Mayo may be talking to him and trying to get him back on track.
Well, one left and one was cut.
Well, true. When one got traded.
And one got traded.
Right, yeah. One was cut, one left, One got traded.
So I mean, how productive is it?
That's technically communicating. It's like, all right, goodbye.
Yeah, that's communicating in a Belichickian way, in my opinion.
Here's a box. You can box up your stuff.
You can stay.
Get the bleep out of here.
Like, you can do it my way or you can go. Those are sort of the options here. Mm. And I don't know that that fits with, what they're selling.
Well, who'd they talk to? Kyle Duggar, who just got a big contract extension.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, feeling
and
great.
Devon Godshaw, who got a contract extension after bitching about his contract.
Right, yeah.
And then had the coach on his podcast. He was all excited to have Mayo on his podcast. I'm ready to... I wasn't going to run through a wall for you until you gave me my money. Now I'll run through a wall for you, coach.
And also do my podcast.
And also do my podcast, but... Was it the words and culture of Jerod Mayo that made Godshaw run through a wall or the contract he gave him?
It's a good question.
Did he buy his loyalty or did he cultivate it naturally?
I mean, they bought a lot of, they extended a lot of players from a 4-13 team, so you tell me.
Maybe they should pay Pop Douglas a little more, though,
maybe
so he
they
stops
should.
Popping off.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. Brian Frazoco is going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we'll talk with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Boston Red Sox, they won last night by a score 2-1 down in Tampa Bay over the Rays. Trevor Story, he went yard for the Sox. Pitcher Justin Slayton earned the win. Sox are now just 4 games back of the final AL wildcard spot. The rubber match game is tonight, and we'll have the call for you of that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 6:50 with Brian Baio on the bump for the Sox. Zach Lattle on the hill for the Rays. Our coverage will begin at 5:50 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. Cooper Boardman will get you squared away there. Week 3 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the New England Patriots squaring off against divisional rival New York Jets. Juwan Bentley, Sidy Sow, Vidarian Lowe, O'Shane Zimenez, they're all ruled out tonight for the Patriots. David Andrews, Mike Nwenu, Jabril Peppers, and Dietrich Wise are all listed as questionable. Linebacker Jermaine Johnson is the only player listed as out so far for the New York Jets, and the Jets also currently sit as 6-point favorites. Kickoff for the game is tonight at 8:15. New England Revolution played to a draw last night with CF Montreal after blowing a 2-goal lead. Revs head to North Carolina to face Charlotte FC on Saturday. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Brian Frazoco, and that's what's trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
On WEI and WEI.com.
That was Robert Kraft at the Jimmy Fund, our two-day Jimmy Fund telethon. Was he with you guys, Jackson?
Yep. Yeah, called in to wish Greg Hill a happy 5 years. You know what? It might not have been at the Jimmy Fund now that I think of it. It was at Greg Hill's 5-year birthday party.
It was at the Greg Hill 5-year birthday party.
Yep.
Okay.
Got my signals crossed there.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. I wasn't sure what it was from. It sounded, you could hear kind of an echo there, and I don't remember there being an echo at the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah, they were in a live show, yeah, down at Sam Adams Tap Room.
All right, well, there you have it. Anyway, we had the important thing is what Robert Kraft was saying right there, and that's a lot of what was in this article from Mike Reese today about the new Patriot way and how that's all going and this sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say concerted effort because I don't think Reese is just out there doing PR, but I do think that there is a real... And it's not just through this, but there's been a real effort made to show everybody that it's a new day here in Foxborough and are not doing things the Belichick way anymore.
Yes, and I think that's normal. Forget just the Belichick way. Every new coach gets that, right?
Right.
Now, I do think it's a little weird, the timing here for the Reese piece.
Agree. It's an odd time for it, yeah.
Week three. But it's also in some ways appropriate, I think, for someone like me who says, this could be a pivotal week for Gerard Mayo and his culture setting and his team and everything that's going on with the guys leaving the team and being asked to leave the team and popping off about not being happy with their roles going into New York, short week. Do you get your ass kicked? What does that look like? You know, if you're a tough, hard-nosed football team that's going to be a tough out, as people are describing this team, mm-hmm. you don't go lay down. I'm wrong. You don't go get beat 31-13 by the Jets.
Right.
That doesn't happen. You find a way to make sure that doesn't. You may lose, but you don't let that happen. And so that part, I think, is interesting here. Now, I think there may also be some technical aspects to this. I think the reason these quotes are similar is maybe the similar quotes were given to other outlets.
Sure.
And maybe they published their stories first, and then
that
ESPN
certainly
was like,
could be, yeah.
Oh, we were going to do that, but I guess we should probably wait.
Let's
now.
Wait a couple weeks.
Yeah. But no, this is a big game for a team that could have been 2-0. If you put up a good fight tonight, are we going to be saying, regardless of the record, you really could have been 3-0. So Gerard Mayo's setting a nice foundation.
I'll be saying that.
Okay.
But not in a nice culture type of way, like this team's got a problem kind of way.
Or if they get blown out, you could be like, well, you had that really nice opening day win. Then you kind of gagged away week two.
Right.
Then you fell on your face in week three. Where would you say this is trending? Where is this going? And I think those are key factors. Week to week, it comes at you fast. Bryce Young proved that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Life comes at you fast in the NFL.
A win week one is a great thing that week. You know, it's a great week for you. People were talking. People on the radio were saying it was a big moment for the organization and the franchise.
Some idiot.
Some people were saying that. The quarterback agreed. Saying he did. He said, yeah, it was. Anyway, I don't remember who asked that question, but it was a good question, I thought. And at any rate, we're now about to be done with week three here with this team as of, you know, later on tonight. And 2-1 is a lot different from 1-2, and it's a lot different from 3-0 and or 0-3.
Yes, and but also the feel of it is
right.
Going to be an important part of this game and moving forward because it's a reset, right? After this, you get that natural.
That's the word that Kraft used, reset. Yeah,
but I mean even this week
mm-hmm.
because you get the long extended break here.
Oh,
like
a reset
mini
on
bye.
The thing, right? Yeah,
you know I don't know how he'll handle it in terms of giving them time off, but there's an actual opportunity to fix the passing game, tweak some things, do some self-scouting, whatever you want to adjust on the fly in September before another tough game. And then who knows, you're starting to go down Drake May Boulevard and start thinking about that as a possibility. So no, it happens so quickly. We see it in the NFL where teams that are supposed to be good or not, teams that are not supposed to be, Patriots may not be a bad team. Even though Robert Kraft is saying, we got rough times ahead, I don't know how this is going to go, that story could be published when his team's 2-0.
Yeah.
How rough are the times, Robert? You know, I know they aren't. They kicked it away and whatever. But they could be 2-0, so maybe the times aren't quite as rough as he was expecting. Because he did differentiate, I know there might be some rough times. And then he's like, I know outside expectations. Well, it sounds like inside expectations from you are also tempered a little bit.
It's not just bulletin board material from ESPN and other things.
You're saying you have doubts.
Not sure how this year is going to be, and we're not expecting to win a lot of games.
Which I appreciate the honesty.
Et cetera. And he's being honest, and that's fine. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think? What do you think? The team's going to be like, yeah, we suck. Like, it's a building year. We're going to go out there and rebuild for you, Robert. Like, no. And Mayo, by the way, has to sort of walk that fine line. He knows what it is. He knows what he's brought into doing. He knows what the team was last year, and he has to get them ready to play and motivated. And you know, the owner's out there talking about, yeah, it's not going to be much of a year this year. So
yeah, I have a great little 10-second snippet of him saying that right now. Here.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't know what I reckon it'll be this year, but I see the pieces in place that we can have a good time.
Have a good time?
Do you have the pieces in place to have a good time this year? I mean, so far, kind of.
I mean,
it's been a reasonably good time
so
far.
Shaughnessy and Wiggy would say no, but I think through 2 weeks, it's been a good time.
Yeah. Two close games.
Kiper might not like it because there wasn't enough big plays down the field.
I could use some more big plays, and I'd maybe just eliminate safeties altogether.
For me, you have. That's not good for the Patriots. They got two good safeties.
That's true. It's two of their best players on defense.
Yeah,
that would hurt them.
You eliminate them. I think you've had some good times through the first 2 weeks here, so I'm not going to mock Robert for that comment.
All right. Well, let's bring in our guest right now from NBC Sports Boston, our good friend Tom E. Curran, who was brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Massachusetts' top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Curran, how are you doing today?
Hello, friends.
Hello, sir. Well, we have a classic matchup here tonight, Thursday Night Football. It's the Patriots and the Jets in a game that my friend here, Andy Hart, is not super optimistic about. Where are you sort of on the optimism scale here? As I know it's a reasonably big line, considering how close a lot of them have been so far. It doesn't seem like much is expected here on a short week from this Patriots team. Can they keep it close tonight, Tommy?
Oh, I would definitely think they can keep it close. I think the hardest thing about looking at this game, Christian, is both of these teams are virtually new entities. And the two games that we've seen so far haven't provided us with a lot of information about what they're actually like in 2024. You know, the Patriots won their first game by playing unbelievably efficiently, and the other team made enough mistakes to kind of hand them a fairly convincing and impressive win. And then last week, there's absolutely no reason the Patriots shouldn't have won comfortably, except they were the ones who made mistakes. They didn't make the mistakes necessarily on execution or the other team putting together a long drive. It was simply brain farts. Brain farts on a field goal block, brain farts on coverage, and that's how they lost the game. So I think when you look at both of these teams, you know, the Jets haven't been overpowering or ridiculously impressive. I don't know what the Aaron Rodgers Jets offense is going to look like. At some point, it's going to look really good. Will that happen yet? I don't know. But I don't have a handle on whether or not the Patriots – I think the Patriots can win the way they're playing, but they can't make one friggin' mistake.
Tom, I heard your comment about Jacoby Brissett being excellent, and I don't know if I would have used the word excellent, but I agree with the premise. I think he's done a really good job in a tough situation. And yet, I hear wide receivers bitching – about, you know, I want the ball, I'm not getting a chance to show myself. Other wide receivers aren't even on the team, and they were bitching on social media. I hear the coach talking about, we got to get the ball down the field. I see a lot on social media, oh, it's Drake May time. I'm sick of Jacoby Brissett. Why can't people appreciate what Jacoby Brissett is doing to help this team that should be 2-0 succeed right now?
That's a good question, and I actually almost think that after I finish that hit with Keith and his head almost popped clean off his shoulder. You know, I thought to myself, maybe I'm being too forgiving. Maybe I'm too willing to give out a participation trophy to Jacoby Brissett just for not effing up left and right. And I do think it's interesting, less so than what Jalen Reagor thinks or second year DeMario Douglas, who if that's the height of his frustration, then the world's a great place because talk about a diplomatic example of rock kicking. He should be getting the ball a ton. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten the ball at all. He expressed it, but he wasn't a dink about it. Fine with it. But it's interesting to hear Mayo say it on repeated occasions, to hear Van Pelt say it, and then for it to not happen. And my boss, Kevin Miller, mentioned this, and I think it's a really good point. Is there a point at which, even though Jacoby Brissett's doing nothing to lose games, and he's doing everything seemingly by the book and by the numbers to impress guys like you and me, Andy, who've seen bad football before, and just say, well, good, he's avoiding the bad football. Mm-hmm. The Patriots say, yeah, but we really want to do something with the football, and he's not doing it. We're starting to get impatient here. And it's a good point. If they go through tonight, and you have three targets to DeMario Douglas and Jalen Polk and no touches, and it's the same 15 or 13 for 27 for 111, they might say, okay, well, he didn't make any mistakes, but he also didn't do anything. So I think it bears watching. I really do. I think he's been excellent. When we consider the people who watch football and break it down and analyze and write stories and everything else, we've seen so much bad football that we do get a little bit excited sometimes to see not bad football when there's the opportunity to do it. But and I think I might be overexcited about not bad football. Can you claim the same thing, Andy, now that I've presented it that way?
And I can acknowledge the lack of playmaking, but I've seen a lot of boring / unentertaining / bad football in recent years. And to hear Wiggy and Dan Shaughnessy and others talk about, oh, this team's got no excitement, and they should be 2-0. There was a time in New England when you'd appreciate 1-1 or 2-0 to start a year, and we're back in that time. The big plays will come, the sexiness will come, but for right now, can we just enjoy not sucking?
I wonder, though. I don't want to embrace it.
Well, not for long term, short term.
I'm getting close to embracing. It's okay. It's okay if you're going 55 and everybody else is going, or 45 in the left lane and everybody else is passing. You're being careful.
Do we get to work?
Maybe I'm.
Do we live?
Yeah. But you're late.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit late for work. But on this, in this same vein, when Drake May eventually gets into a game here or gets his first start or whatever it is, however we first see him, there's going to be that same kind of, that's okay. You know, like there's going to be a long leash for him, and that's part of the rebuilding process. It just seems like with Jacoby Brissett out there, they're handicapping themselves. And I think that that's part of what is, when Shaughnessy and Wiggy and other people say it's not as exciting or not as much fun to watch, we all know that there may be a better product right there sitting on that bench that we can all watch on Sundays, and they're purposefully not putting him out there. So I think that has something to do with it, too.
I would push back and say there's not a better product. There's a more entertaining product. Mm. I mean, if we use all measures of football acuity, he's not going to check all the boxes in terms of playing the game better than Jacoby Brissett. He's going to be faster. He's going to throw the ball harder. And he's going to be able to make plays with his feet more. But I think there's a lot of aspects of playing football better that he absolutely, positively cannot do yet. But it would be more entertaining. So if Dan, you know, has his nightcap on and slippers and he's turning in at 7:30 because Jacoby Brissett's starting, okay, well, check back in when they're 9-7 sometime, okay? Let the people who really like the football watch the football develop.
So, Tom, this reaction to the lack of a passing game, lack of receivers, lack of getting the ball down the field, as we mentioned, Gerard has talked about wanting to do it, blah, blah. When you get ready for tonight's game, do you think there will be a concerted effort to get Pop Douglas involved? Will they be throwing the ball a little bit more? Or should they just say, well, the Jets can't really stop the run, and we're pretty good at running the ball, and our offensive line stinks, so we're just going to come out and run the damn ball again?
Probably more of the latter, but I do think if you're going to make pledges each week publicly to say we're going to get this player, who is very good, they're not just doing it out of, the goodness of their hearts. Mm-hmm. He needs the ball. They have the ball. If they can, I would imagine they're going to want to get themselves in 2nd and 5. The best way to do that would probably be to try and run it. But you can't act. The hard thing for them and Van Pelt right now is, every drive, every play is so important because you can't make up when you get behind the chains. So you have to be in 2nd and 4 to say, all right, let's try something here. Because if you do it on 1st and 10 and it doesn't work, it's 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 12. So yeah, how many 2nd and 2s are they in? And then they're like, oh, no, it's 3rd and 2, and everybody knows we're running because we can't throw. They're just not – they don't have the luxury of burning a play the way – that Josh McDaniels might have had the opportunity, or Bill O'Brien, or anybody else who had more at his disposal to say, okay, we'll try this here. They just have to go full meat and potatoes at all times. So I do believe I'll be stunned if you come out of tonight with DeMario Douglas seeing the same rate of usage that he's gotten in the first 2 weeks.
Are you of the belief that Alex Van Pelt has really something to prove tonight? I mean, this is an offense now that's being talked about nationally as one that is very one-dimensional, and if you take that one dimension away, what's left? Is this is there going to be a spotlight on him tonight, do you think?
Yeah, I think there'll be a spotlight on him, but I think it'll be a kind spotlight, because anybody watching these games, or at least the announcers, will certainly give them the benefit of the doubt, because watching these games, you understand that the Patriots are strapped. They have a banged-up offensive line that wasn't really that talented to begin with. They have dime store wideouts, and a guy that they drafted in the sixth round who's probably their best player at the position. They have a fourth-round running back who's very productive. God bless him, Ramondre. There's just not a lot there. So if the Patriots don't excel tonight and have another, okay, well, first down, second down, third down, ends with a field goal after 14 plays, people just say, okay, well, Van Pelt's doing his best with a tough situation. Van Pelt's linked, I think, Christian, to May. How does May develop? Hmm. This isn't going to be a one-year deal for Van Pelt. So if it looks sketchy here for him and it's not a great night for the Patriots offense in week three against the Jets in 2024, that won't matter as much as how does Drake May look by 2025, early 2026? What do you have there? And that would be the best reflection, I think, of Alex Van Pelt. He's been gifted a great opportunity. Gifted, I shouldn't say. He's earned a great opportunity. He fell into a great opportunity because they had other options, Van Pelt I'm talking about. And he could do wondrous things with this opportunity if Drake May develops the way the Patriots hope.
Tom, Juwan Bentley, obviously a good player for them. Not a great player, but a really good player. He's turned into a leader. Leading tackler type guy. Is that a significant impact on the long-term success of this defense that everybody expects to be kind of the backbone of the team?
I'm wondering where they hit critical mass with the injuries, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can accept the loss of Judon very easily, although I do think they need more in their pass rush right now. I'm just not sure Judon would necessarily be bringing it the way that he had in the past. Regardless, between he and Barmore, you've put some dings in the front seven. And now to lose Bentley, too, I think that tips the scales a bit.
Yep.
He's a communicator. He's someone who gets people aligned. Who is your leader in the front seven now? Is it Jelani Tavai, who I think is a very good player? Is Jelani Tavai a good player in part the way Brandon Spikes used to be a good player, or Dante Hightower in his early years, because they had Mayo next to them who was able to, you know what, I'll take care of this stuff. You just take care of flying to the ball. That's what Mayo was able to do for those players. And I'm not saying that's the case with Tavai. And maybe Tavai will fit nicely hand in glove, and it's not that kind of relationship with those two. But I don't want to see Tavai's level drop off. And I'm going to watch closely for that because I think those guys have been an excellent tandem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we let you go, it is time for a new segment here with Tommy Curran called the Tommy Curran Flex of the Game.
Ooh.
Presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy Curran, what is your Flex of the Game, key to the game here for the Patriots if they want to beat the Jets tonight?
Flex of the Game, key to the game, third down defensively. Please get yourself off the field. Please, if Patriots are able to keep the New York Jets under 40% conversions on third down, they win the football game. Flex it up.
All right, very good. That's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports
Boss.
That was
good.
Terrific.
Did you take your shirt off to
that,
Flex?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to air check that one for sure. They're going to be very happy with that over at FlexCar. NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran. Thanks so much.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that is Tommy Curran. You can hear him tonight in the pregame show on NBC Sports Boston. They do a halftime show and postgame as well, although you're going to be listening to Six Rings postgame. So.
And halftime.
And also, oh, yeah, right. You
We've
guys
started
have a
doing
show
a
as well.
That's
right.
Halftime for road games where we do it on live streaming on social media, so feel free to join us. Maybe bring a beer. Can I also critique your questioning?
Sure.
Just real quick, this is dead serious from someone who learned over 20 years of Bill Belichick fixating on every word you say and taking one of the words as an out.
Okay.
So you asked Curran, can the Patriots keep it close?
Yes.
Will the Patriots keep it close? Because if you say can, obviously, it's like the old can I go to the bathroom? I don't know. Can you? Like, it's if you say will, you put them on the spot. Will they keep it close? Because, of course, they can keep it close. Right, they can run the ball, they can play it, whatever.
Well,
just a little
some
nitpick.
People don't think they can. Some people don't think they can keep it close tonight.
Those
like
people
you.
Are stupid.
Well, you think they're
going to
get their ass kicked.
I think they can keep it close tonight.
But that they won't.
They will not.
Got it.
And that is the key.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. Great radio school with Andy Hart.
I just got here.
779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, it's been an interesting 2 weeks in the NFL. We'll go over what's been real and what's a mirage right after this.
WEEI.
New England Sports Original.
As the Patriots look to go to 2-1 on the season and spoil the home opener for these Jets and the first game for Aaron Rodgers at MetLife Stadium since he ran out with the American flag and then promptly snapped his Achilles and then yep. Was out for the rest of the year. So
it's going
to be big emotions there in New York, I would think. They finally got a win with Rodgers last week. And now here come the Patriots, a team that dominated the Jets for about a decade. And outside of that game last year, a game that I still have very sore about because I made a great bet for that game. I bet that there would be no offensive touchdown scored in the game. And then at the very end, Breece Hall got that touchdown, and I was so pissed. I thought for sure I had that thing in the bag.
So it wasn't a great bet.
It was a good bet in the sense that it was, I mean, we're down to the very last, and no touchdowns have been scored. So I lost, but it was a very small amount way, and it would have been a big, big payout, and I probably should have just taken the cash out, but I thought for sure it was snowing. It was too crap on Zach Wilson against Bailey Zappi. I was like, these guys aren't scoring a touchdown. Breece Hall. Freaking Breece Hall.
Screwed you.
I know. I let out a loud expletive after that touchdown. Anyway, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll begin things with Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Listen. You just promoted that in the future there'll be flag football.
Yes, Andy Hart believes that's what's happening, yes.
Okay, so you think that tickets will be half price and the players will get half of their salary if they promote flag football in the NFL?
I don't know. I forgot we even talked about that. Let's go to Riley in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Riley.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that last call. I have no idea what he was talking about.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, go ahead, Riley.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I just want to touch on Drake May. You know, I love what the Patriots have been doing with him. You got to keep a loaded gun back there. You look at what all the other quarterback ones that were drafted in the first round. They're going through the ringer. Caleb Williams the other night is getting blown up in national media. I say you stick with what you're doing. They got no cap gas in the schedule for that Thursday night, but they got to go against San Francisco. They have a late bye. If anything, throw him in way late. Obviously, injury is different, but I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Thanks for the call, Riley. I think that's what they're going to do. I said Thanksgiving is probably when he's going to get a shot, if they even give him a shot at all this year, but I think it'll probably be around then. That's the plan, barring some sort of unforeseen thing happen to Jacoby Brissett.
Is it unforeseen?
If he gets hurt.
We've foreseen it the last 2 weeks.
All right, but he hasn't had to leave the game, and he hasn't been on the injury report. So
he will.
Fine. I'm saying, barring that.
Inevitable.
And that would be unforeseen because we don't know that it's going to happen. But either way, splitting hairs here, I think that's the plan, is the plan to have him at some point in November around week 11 or 12, something like that. I know that's late, but it just seems like that's the plan that they're sticking with and what they want to do. So I don't know. I mean, you talk about the other quarterbacks, the other rookie quarterbacks going out there getting their ass kicked and stuff, and it's like, yeah, they are, but that's part of the process. I don't think that's something that needs to be taken away. Like, these quarterbacks need to be so protected they can't go out there and face any adversity whatsoever. They can't get hit. They can't, throw any picks. They can't do all of this. It's going to ruin them all. Like, no, that's part of the process. That's part of being in the NFL. You get that out of your system. You try and overcome it, and you try and make yourself a better player. That's the whole point. It's what Gerard Mayo says when he says football players get better at football when they play football. This is making them better, whether it looks like that or not right now. It's going to make them better, ultimately, and maybe they suck. I mean, maybe all these guys suck, and maybe they're all in bad situations. You can make the argument Bo Nix is in a bad situation there in Denver. There's not much of an offense there. Washington's got McLaurin, but not much else, and Caleb Williams has no excuse. He's got a good an offense around him, but the other two guys, you could say, aren't great situations, and, maybe they're just destined not to be good, but I think playing is the right way to go about it. I think playing these guys is how you get better, and I think that these early bad experiences are not necessarily bad things.
Well, Caleb Williams, if you believe Bill Belichick, has an excuse, and that his line stinks, and that Ryan Poles has done a terrible job constructing a roster around a young quarterback where you should construct a solid offensive line, which would be similar to the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because earlier when Tom was talking about Brissett and is he being good and what he's done, what he hasn't done, hasn't made mistakes, hasn't made plays, and May could make play, blah, blah, blah. I just had in this vision, everybody wants May at some point because of this is going to build up where we don't make any plays. Even when we win, he throws for 120 yards, blah, blah, blah. That's going to wear on people. The Mel Kipers of the world, the Dan Shaughnessys, the Wiggies that are looking for just entertainment and throw the ball down the field and all those kinds of things. What happens when Drake May gets in? And yeah, he's throwing the ball down the field to the other team once, to the other team twice, to the other team three times. I feel like you have an opportunity for Jacoby Brissett to Sorter, Connor McGregor swagger on, how you like me now kind of thing. Oh, wait. When you're getting blown out because your quarterback's turning the ball over 3, 4, 5 times a game, is that not entertaining, guys? Is that not exciting enough for you, Wiggy and Dan Shaughnessy and all y'all who were criticizing me for not making mistakes while not making plays kind of thing? So that could play out different than people, because you just speculate, oh, he's going to get out there. He'll throw picks, but he'll throw crazy touchdown passes.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee of that.
Sort of the idea.
There's no guarantee
of anything. There's no guarantee he's going to throw the picks either. But I'm saying, like, you know.
Want to bet?
We don't know. he may not.
I've seen some bad things.
I don't know what Drake May is going to do. I have no idea what he's going to look like out there. But I will say this. At some point, Jacoby Brissett not throwing ever and Drake May maybe throwing some interceptions is probably going to lead you down the same road, which is losses, which is what this season's supposed to be anyway, according to Robert Kraft. We're not going to win a lot of games.
If you're in that foundational building phase, and Robert brought that up again in the Reese's story, just like he did in all the others, foundation, Mayo has brought up foundation and that whole thing.
Right.
Well, then, yes, May should, and that's where I would disagree with November or December. That's where I'd say October is the month for May. He's gotten his reps behind the scene. He's seen Jacoby. He's seen how to try to avoid hits, when to run, what not to do, and all of those things. Then it's time to get him on the field, because I'm with you. I kind of agree with everything you said, except people do think damage is done. So it's like, if you want to protect him, then go to my red shirt idea and protect everybody and put them all on level playing field, and then next year they would have their rookie year with Jaden Daniels, and you'd still be excited, right? It would just delay the gratification,
I guess.
If everybody's doing it the same, it'd be like other sports where people, you know, don't immediately join the club or whatever. Like, you know, Marcelo Mayer, you drafted him. Now it's different because it's four or five years.
It's one thing when they make him stay in college an extra year or whatever. Like, that's different. But when they make it to the pros and they're actually on the roster and they got to wait
a year,
I mean.
No, they're just up in the press box. They eat with the media and then they go to like a suite.
If it's a really high, like, ballyhooed prospect, then yeah, I mean, that's going to be a problem. People
they can all bust
like
out
that.
Too.
Maybe. Let's go to the phones here before the break. Jimmy is in Dover. Go ahead, Jimmy. Jimmy.
Jacoby Brissett will not survive. Brissett cannot survive four quarters behind that offensive line. With Ladarian Lowe and City So and Okorafor gone, Brissett's going to be a punching bag, a tackling dummy. We're going to see Drake May tonight.
All right, Jimmy in Dover thinks that you're not going to survive. Jacoby Brissett, you're not going to survive four quarters.
What odds would you set on that Drake May plays tonight?
I'd set maybe plus 102, something like that. You know?
Yeah.
You think they'd play him on a short week?
If they had to,
he's the backup quarterback.
It's not a short week for him. It's been like four weeks since he actually played.
but beyond that, Brian, he's the backup quarterback. What are you going to not play him if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt? And the guy, including Okorafor in there, was a little like piling on.
Yeah,
you got better when Okorafor was taken out of the
game. You
probably
did.
He stinks.
I mean, yeah, but now the guy you replaced him with is out, and so it's going to be
issue.
Caden Wallace starting there. And
wait, are you
Jordan
on the Milton
guard?
Brian, are you on the Milton train? Are you on this crew of media members who says
if May's not ready, then yeah, I would be.
He's the backup quarterback.
If Drake May isn't ready, then he shouldn't play. That's just that simple as that.
You think Milton's ready?
No. But I think
playing quarterback.
I'd rather ruin Milton than ruin Drake May.
That's hurtful. I mean, he is a man who you drafted and has potential.
Well, you got to play somebody. In fairness here, but
right.
I think that, yeah,
you
should have
kept Zappy then if you were that.
I would have been okay with that.
Oh boy,
Zappy, four quarterbacks and the only two you play are Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappy.
Do you guys think that Drake May is made of an eggshell and is dumb as dirt and has no athletic ability? And, like, what do you think
he is? No, it's because you don't think anything about the offensive line and that he'll get hurt behind that offensive line. That's what the caller said. I think it was what Brian saying. I think that's what this is really about, is if you put him out there, you're risking.
I just don't think you play a guy before he's ready to play at the quarterback.
How do you know when he's ready to play definitively?
I don't know. I don't even know if they're going to know it either. But
no one knows it. You can't possibly know
they
that.
They clearly don't think.
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears. But little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.